Hello, everyone. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting for naturalnews.com. And once again, I'm reporting live from the high Andes Mountains in Ecuador, southern Ecuador, in fact. So those are some of the outside sounds that you are hearing in this case. And today I'm bringing you some rather disturbing news about the Supreme Court making a decision that essentially turns over the future of your health to corporations. Here's what happened in a case called Regal versus Medtronic. Now, Medtronic is a manufacturer of medical devices. They make the angioplasty balloons, among other things. And in this case, Regal died following a surgical procedure in which one of these angioplasty balloons exploded when it was in his artery. I shouldn't be laughing. It's not actually funny. He was killed by this medical device. The reason I'm laughing is because of how stupid this situation is. Now, the FDA said that this device was approved, and then the Supreme Court now ruled that because the FDA said this device was approved, that the family of Regal, again, who died, could not sue the device manufacturer. So you follow this? Your health has just been turned over to corporations and to a highly corrupt FDA. They are saying now, the Supreme Court has said in an 8-1 decision, no less, that you cannot sue a device manufacturer for any kind of harm caused by that medical device if the FDA put its stamp of approval on the device. You follow that? Now that's astounding. It means that there's now blanket immunity for these corporations. They can never be held responsible anymore for producing harmful devices that actually kill people. And this won't stop with medical devices, by the way. This is going to go on to pharmaceuticals. That's what's next. That's what the drug companies really want. In fact, they've tried to have laws passed on this before. They've tried to say that if the FDA approves a drug, it can therefore never possibly harm anyone. It can't be harmful, and the drug companies should be immune to lawsuits from the families of people who died after taking the drugs. That's what the drug companies have said. And now the Supreme Court has given support to that argument on the medical device side. Once again, the Supreme Court has ruled in an 8-1 decision in Regal versus Medtronic that any medical device that is FDA approved at a certain level, which means it has a certain classification of approval by the FDA, that medical device cannot possibly harm anyone, or no one can possibly sue the device manufacturer. Blanket immunity. It would be like granting immunity to Ford for making defective vehicles. Let's say if they made a batch of really defective trucks that killed people. What if the Supreme Court came in and ruled that since some government regulatory body approved the truck as safe, that consumers could not sue Ford for defective materials or defective workmanship or poor design choices or cost-cutting that compromised safety at the in order to create more profits? I just use Ford as an example. I don't mean to imply that Ford is involved in such a lawsuit, but car companies have historically been involved in these kinds of lawsuits because in many cases in the past, like let's say the Ford Pinto, these companies really did cut corners and they made terrible design choices that in fact made their vehicles more dangerous. It is a basic premise of common law that a consumer can sue the manufacturer of a product if that product is defective and if it then harms the consumer. But now the Supreme Court has made this traitorous decision, this decision that surrenders the rights of the people and enforces blanket immunity for corporations. Corporations that we know are making dangerous products. Corporations that we know influence the FDA. And here's the real problem with this. If the FDA could actually be trusted, if the FDA was an agency that was actually engaged in real science and not just political decision-making in order to appease its clients, which include drug companies and medical device manufacturers, if we could trust the FDA, in other words, then you could perhaps argue with some amount of reason that device manufacturers should be immune if they pass these super rigorous, scientifically valid testing conducted by the FDA. However, that is not the case. The FDA is not an objective, scientifically based organization that puts the health of consumers first. It is nothing like that. The FDA is, in fact, operating as the de facto marketing branch of drug companies and medical device manufacturers. It promotes their interests solely at the expense of public health. When there is a choice to be made between corporate profits and public health, the FDA has proven again and again that it will choose corporate profits. It will protect those corporate profits every single time. And in fact, the FDA will only act in the interest of consumers when it is forced to do so through lawsuits by organizations like Public Citizen, for example. So we know the FDA really does not have the interests of the public at heart. So how then can we give these medical device manufacturers blanket immunity only after receiving a stamp of approval from a regulatory agency that is, in fact, corrupt, that is, in fact, strongly biased in favor of the financial interests of the very corporations making those devices? And isn't it ludicrous to say, just even at the outset, isn't it ludicrous to say that just because the FDA has approved a medical device, it means that the device could not possibly harm anyone? Isn't that a ridiculous statement? I mean, we know that FDA-approved drugs, for example, are killing hundreds of thousands of Americans. The American Medical Association, in its publication, JAMA, said that FDA-approved pharmaceuticals are killing about 100,000 Americans a year. Add that up. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of body bags from FDA-approved pharmaceuticals. So how then can anyone argue, how can the Supreme Court even argue, that the FDA's stamp of approval means something is so safe that the company making that should be shielded from all consumer lawsuits? It's completely unreasonable. And it goes to show you why or how the Supreme Court has, in essence, surrendered your health future if you're an American. It has said that all risks from medical devices shall be passed along to the consumers alone. If you die, it's your fault. It's your responsibility, and there shall be no more damages, no more lawsuits. These companies shall now operate with complete blanket immunity. So what will happen now? Well, the device manufacturers now, after this decision, they're realizing that all they have to do is get their device approved by the FDA, and now they cannot possibly be sued. They've realized that they no longer have to be concerned about safety at all. All they have to do is get the stamp of approval from the FDA, and that's it. That's all they need. There's actually no more need to engineer actual safety in the product. All they need is now a political statement, a political stamp of approval from an agency that, by the way, favors these corporations to begin with. So now my prediction is we're going to start seeing medical devices that have, in fact, fewer safety designs built in. They're going to be less safe than devices before this decision, because building in safety, engineering safety, costs money. And these companies, previously, they might have put that money into these products, realizing that they needed the products to be safe in order to avoid lawsuits. Now they realize, well, they don't need to make them safe to avoid lawsuits because they can't be sued anyway. So what this Supreme Court decision has, in effect, done is given medical device manufacturers permission to build deadly, dangerous medical products. In fact, products that are even more deadly and even more dangerous than the products they were already selling, which were dangerous enough, as is evidenced by the fact that the individual's family, that this individual was actually killed by this device, and his family was suing for damages. I mean, if the device is so safe, why is this gentleman dead? It's a pretty reasonable question. Why is his family not entitled to sue the device manufacturer? But that's what we're going to see now. We're going to see a reduction in safety because now corporations making these medical devices have no real incentive to make their devices safe anymore. And what's next? Of course, we're going to see Big Pharma making the same argument. They're going to say that, for example, people suing drug companies over Vioxx, which, according to the FDA's own senior drug safety researcher, Dr. David Graham, likely killed more than 60,000 Americans. Well, we're going to see drug companies arguing that people shouldn't be able to sue over Vioxx. That if you're dead, then that's your own problem. That's your fault. Not their fault. They got FDA approval. Hence, they should be immune to any claims of damage. And that's what's coming. Pharmaceuticals are next. Today, the Supreme Court decided to give immunity over medical devices, but tomorrow it's going to be over pharmaceuticals. It's a very disturbing trend. And it really demonstrates how every regulatory and legislative and judicial body in this country has now sold out to the corporations. I mean, let me paint this picture for you. We now have a nation that is, in fact, run by the corporations. It is run by the corporations. There is no one who gets into political office unless powerful corporations want them there. How do you think they get the financial support to win elections and run advertisements? They make promises to the corporations. The corporations own the politicians. And that includes, of course, the lawmakers. So no one gets into the Senate, no one gets into the Congress unless they sell their souls to the corporations. That's the way it works today in America. Now, at the FDA and the USDA and other government regulatory agencies, no one gets a job there unless they also support the interests of industry. In other words, the corporations. The top people at the USDA, for example, used to be many of the top people who worked in the beef industry. And that's why you see the USDA sitting on these beef recalls. They'll actually find out about a dangerous beef contamination incident, and they'll sit on that. We just reported a story recently where the USDA waited for 18 days before issuing a beef recall. And you know why they do that? Because after 18 days, most of the beef has already been eaten. So, of course, people can't return the beef, which means that the beef companies, the slaughterhouses, don't lose money because they don't have to refund all the beef. So they just wait. They wait for people to eat it. So they find out about an E. coli contamination that sickens people or kills people, or they find out about a mad cow disease incident or downer cows in the slaughterhouse in California, for example. They just wait. They sit around, and they wait for the beef to be consumed. And then a few days later, they issue the recall. That's what they're doing. Why do they do this? Because they're protecting the corporations. The corporations have taken over, folks. The corporations are running this country. And what's most disturbing now is that they are, in fact, running the Supreme Court. Only one dissenting vote in the Supreme Court, Ginsburg. Only one. Eight of the justices there said that the corporations should be immune to these lawsuits. So now we have a situation where you really do take all of these risks yourself. In other words, if you decide to take a drug or to use a medical device, you are in fact assuming every risk. If something goes wrong, you have no right to sue. And again, soon that will be applied to pharmaceuticals, no doubt. So you're taking every risk. You're risking your life with these products, and you have absolutely no recourse whatsoever now if something goes wrong, if you are harmed, or if you are killed. Your family has no recourse. In other words, the normal channels of seeking justice in this nation have just been blocked. The Supreme Court has taken away your rights as an American to seek justice for the harm caused to you by medical device manufacturers. And all it takes now is a payoff from a medical device company to an FDA decision maker. Just a simple bribe, an under-the-table cash payoff, or promise of speaking fees, for example, promise of a consulting fee, promise of royalties, or stock options. Any of these are various systems of bribery that are commonly used in modern medicine to get to influence decision makers. And that's all it takes. And the FDA puts a stamp of approval on it. And by the way, even when bribery is not the method used for influencing the FDA, the other method is that many of these corporations simply fund all their own studies. So they'll actually fund their own device safety study, or they'll run what's called shadow clinical trials, where they have a third party run the study, but they're actually pulling the strings. So the people doing the study are just puppets, and they're being controlled by the device manufacturer. So they fabricate the study. They design it in a way that will automatically produce the desired results. And then once they get those results, those are the studies that they forward to the FDA. And the FDA does none of its own research. It does none of its own testing, not in any serious way anyway. And it relies on the data provided by the device manufacturers or the pharmaceutical companies in order to make its own decisions about whether to approve those things. This is insane. This is an insane system. You know, it's like taking your car to a mechanic and saying, oh, I have an unlimited budget. Why don't you just find whatever's wrong with the car, fix it, and then bill me, you know, or just give me a total. Do you think that mechanic has a financial incentive to, you know, find something wrong with your car or perhaps break something? Oh, gee, look, you need a new transmission. Of course it does. This is what happens with drug companies. You give them the keys to the data, to the clinical trials, and of course they're going to fabricate whatever they need to serve their own financial interests. And then they're going to forward that to the FDA. And that's the information upon which the FDA makes its decisions. In other words, if you're following all this, the FDA is a joke. The system of modern medicine we have operating in the United States today is a hoax. It doesn't work. It's not based on any real science. It's based on politics. These decisions are being made based entirely on politics. Even this Supreme Court decision on medical devices. It's a political decision. A decision designed to protect the profits of corporations and protect the power base of the FDA. The FDA, remember, is a government agency that routinely engages in tyranny, in censorship. There's so much censorship put in place by the FDA. This is the most oppressive government agency that I've ever seen, other than perhaps the CIA and some of the shadow operations that go on, the NSA perhaps. The FDA is like a modern medical Gestapo. I mean, they will march into a vitamin shop with guns drawn, with SWAT team gear and bulletproof vests, and they'll arrest people at gunpoint, lock them up, seize their inventory. They'll order the destruction of books. If the books teach people something they don't want people to know, they'll threaten companies with removing information from their websites that might try to educate people about natural health. They will intimidate their own scientists. The FDA, there have been employees of the FDA that were caught accepting bribes. The FDA is a criminal organization. There's no other way to accurately describe it. It's a criminal organization. And if we had any kind of real justice in this country, we'd be marching into the FDA, Justice Department people, for example, with guns drawn, making arrests, handcuffing the FDA top executives, decision makers, and putting them on trial for these crimes that they've committed against the American people. But instead of that, what do we get? We get the Supreme Court protecting the FDA and protecting the corporations that make the medical devices that are killing people. You see what I mean when I say that we've lost our nation? We've lost it, folks. It's gone. The corporations are running the show. You know, the money supply is in dire straits. There's no way out of this except hyperinflation, a collapse of the U.S. economy, or bankruptcy of the U.S. government, for example. That's coming, and that's a good thing because it's going to put the FDA out of business. I mean, the best thing that we can do right now to actually protect the health of American consumers is to see the U.S. government go bankrupt. Because the only way to stop this monstrosity known as the Food and Drug Administration is to bankrupt the government and make sure that the FDA has no more funds. And I don't mean that we need to intervene in any way. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is sit back and let these politicians spend their way into oblivion. The politicians are bankrupting the nation already. Bush put us there. Clinton was one who actually did something to try to reverse the national debt spending. But he was fighting a system of debt and stock market bubbles. Alone, he couldn't reverse it. He had his own problems in other ways too. There's only one guy. There's only one guy that was running for president that really understood this situation and could have saved us, and that's Ron Paul. And Ron Paul is just simply too educated for the American masses. He understands economics. He understands the importance of a gold standard. He understands hyperinflation. He understands the history of economic cycles of countries. He understands freedom and liberty. And he is just too intelligent to be elected in a country full of people who are drugged out on pharmaceuticals and who believe that you can get something for nothing generation after generation. And so we've lost our financial future in this country. We've lost our health future in this country. We've lost our freedoms and our liberties now, thanks to what the Bush administration has done. And now, thanks to the Supreme Court, we've even lost our ability to seek justice when we are harmed or killed by faulty medical devices. That's where we stand today. And that's why I think it's going to be a very interesting few years ahead of us as we watch this government spend its way into certain bankruptcy. We're going to watch the savings of the American people evaporate as the government hyperinflates its way out of global debt. We're going to see even probably more restrictions on liberty. We're going to see even more outrageous decisions about health products and pharmaceuticals. And we're going to see the corporations really doing everything in their power to try to take over as much as they can in our society. They're going to take over the prisons. They're going to take over agriculture. They've already mostly done so. They're going to take over the food supply. They're going to take over health. They may even begin to start taking over reproduction, reproductive rights. So, for example, you can't have a baby unless you pay royalties to these corporations, because guess who owns 20% of the human genome? That's right, corporations. If you don't believe me, just go search at the U.S. Patent Office and you'll find that it's actually true. That 20% of your genes, that's right, your genes, are owned by corporations. So it's going to be a very interesting time. And this decision by the Supreme Court is really just a sign of the times. It's a sign of how crazy things have become, how far gone we are, how much we've lost common sense and human decency. And it's at this point that I can only sit back and hope that the economic collapse of the federal government comes sooner rather than later, so that we can actually rebuild some kind of honest society following that event. You see, I'm not actually a doom and gloom person. When I talk about collapse, I always talk about it in the context of, hey, wouldn't it be great to reboot society, to reboot our government, to have a whole new system, maybe a new system of honest representative government where we don't have politicians in the way? You know, we don't need senators and congresspeople. We can vote directly now. This is not, you know, 1865. We can vote directly. We have the internet. So we don't need all those people in Washington. So when we reboot this society, when the U.S. government goes broke, we should be thinking very seriously about how we're going to recreate a new society based on the principles that we value, like access to accurate information about health, natural remedies, natural cures. We should value open information. We should value personal freedom, personal liberty, a stable money supply, honest government, balanced budgets. We should value all of these things. And in that kind of environment, the Food and Drug Administration would not exist at all because it values none of those things. So when we do reboot this society, and we will, because the American people are very, very adaptable. When they see their government collapsing, they're going to rush to the scene, and they're going to create a new system. And in that new system, I think it's very important that we start to think about how can we protect the rights of the American people, your right to access honest information about, for example, the health benefits of cherries. How do we protect your access to the channels of seeking justice if you are harmed by a pharmaceutical or harmed by a medical device? How do we, in fact, protect the rights of consumers against the corporations? That's a very interesting lesson right there. You see, in the history of civilization, we saw cases hundreds of years ago where societies were very concerned about establishing protections for the people against the church. There was a time when the church was the power base, and it got too strong and too powerful and too monopolistic, and it was a danger to the liberties of the people. More recently, over the last few hundred years, you saw America, for example, declare its independence from England, and that was a case of liberty from the king, and the king had become too powerful and too monopolistic and too dangerous. Well, now, what is the threat to us now? Threat is the corporations. The corporations have become the church or the king. The corporations have become the danger to society. The corporations have taken over and they're now running every branch of government, or at least strongly influencing it, and there is almost nothing that happens in this country that is not put there by design by the corporations. Nothing happens in the media, for example, unless a corporation wants it to happen. You don't hear about something unless there's a corporate incentive for you to hear about it. Except, of course, through independent channels like this one. Many others like, you know, Alex Jones or Jeff Rentz or the Organic Consumers Association, Common Dreams, Public Citizen, and so on. Things like that. Those are independent channels. But aside from those, and of course, Natural News, everything's controlled by the corporations. The entire legislative process, every law that gets passed in this country is passed in order to protect the interests of corporations. There is no such thing anymore as laws that get passed solely to protect the people. No such thing. There's no such thing as independent mainstream media that's designed to inform and educate the people. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as an honest money system designed to enhance the abundance and the security of the people. It does not exist. There's no such thing as a system of laws designed to protect the rights and the privacies of the people. It doesn't exist. What do we have? We have a plutocracy, in a sense, where money rules and the corporations have the money. And that's what this whole system of medicine is all about. It's all about making money. It's about keeping people diseased and ignorant. It is, in fact, a form of slavery. I call it medical slavery. You know, back in the the plantation days in southern, in the southern part of America, following the colonial days and the early states of America. You know, the plantation owners that were cruel to their slaves considered their slaves to be their property. They actually owned them, right? That's what they thought. And in order to control them, you know what they did to those slaves? They kept them ignorant. Teaching a slave how to read was a crime, punishable by hanging. And they did. They would punish collaborators who dared to educate those slaves, because they knew that if the slaves were enlightened, if they could be educated, if they learned how to read, well, boy, they'd be empowered then. And that would threaten the control that the slave owners had over those slaves, and that would threaten the wealth of those plantation owners. And their wealth was based on the labor and the sweat and tears of those slave workers who worked the cotton fields, who gave them, in effect, free labor. And so the plantation owners lived these opulent lifestyles on the backs of their slaves. Well, today, the same system is in place, but it's not based on race anymore. It's based on class. The plantation owners are the corporate executives. The slaves are the wage earners. The slaves are you and me and anybody earning a W-2 wage, whether you're black or white or Chinese or Korean or Hispanic, whatever. We are the new slaves, and the way they control us, or attempt to, is to keep us ignorant. That's why the FDA censors information about natural remedies. That's why the mainstream media actually de-educates people on topics like the legislative process and the banking system and finances and personal freedom and so on. This is why the masses are kept fluoridated and vaccinated and doped up on pharmaceuticals like SSRI drugs. This is why. Because an informed population is a threat to the status quo. It is a threat to the plantation owners, the corporate executives, that can only live their opulent lifestyles, that can only generate their profits on the backs of the work of the ignorant slaves who are now mainstream American workers. And oh yeah, they'll tell you you're free. Sure they will. They'll tell you you're earning a good wage, or they'll tell you you're free to do whatever you want. But in fact, they pay themselves hundreds of millions of dollars a year in earnings, while they may have people working for them at a minimum wage that's not, you can't even actually live on it. That's what they will do to you. And then they'll keep you ignorant. And they do that through so many different methods. So we live in a society of new slavery. And to bring this back to the main point, the Supreme Court has decided to keep the plantation owners protected and to keep the slaves in line. Basically, they've said, well, if you're a slave working in modern society today and you are harmed by a device made by the plantation owner, you have no right to seek justice. It's just like in the old days of slavery. If a slave were working a field and they got their hand chopped off, for example, by a machine because it was a faulty machine not maintained by the plantation owner, do you think that slave worker could sue the plantation owner and say, hey, you caused the loss of my hand and I'm seeking compensation? Do you think they could do that? Of course not. Plantation owner would say, sorry, use your other hand. That's what the Supreme Court has just said to you. Sorry. If you died, sorry, you have no recourse. You are a slave. Get back in line. Get back in the field. Go back to work. Shut up. Stop asking questions. Make more money for the plantation owners. That's what you've just been told. So I got a question for you, all of you listening. How does it feel to be a slave in modern society? Doesn't feel very good, does it? Feels like you're being used, and you are. You're being exploited. You're being denied your rights that were guaranteed by the United States Constitution, a document over which many, many thousands of people died to create and protect. You're being denied your rights as an American citizen. You are being forced to live as a modern slave. You have no justice. You have no rights. You have no privacy. And by the way, you're about to be screwed out of all your life savings. I forgot to mention that, because the currency that you're saving your money in, the US dollar, it's going to become worthless, because the government is going to steal all of your productivity and savings by hyperinflating the currency so that it can print its way out of debt while secretly and silently stealing your savings. So what can you do? You can take back your freedom. You can do what a lot of people do and seek other places to live. You can actually save your money in other currencies. You should look about ways to do that. You can protect yourself with gold. You can convert your worthless paper dollars into a useful piece of land on which you can live long term and grow some food, have some fresh water, have a roof over your head that you don't owe the bank money on. Right now, you have a window of opportunity to protect yourself. And then keep yourself educated, because there will be an opportunity after this society collapses. There will be an opportunity to be part of the dialogue of rebuilding the new North American society. There will be a new system that fills the vacuum left by the former United States government when it goes bankrupt. And there'll be lots of opportunities to create a better society. We can create a better system. It's really not difficult. I mean, the current system is so screwed up that it's hard to do any worse, frankly. I mean, this was a 200-and-something year experiment, and the experiment's over. The experiment failed. The experiment was, what happens if you run a government based on runaway spending that is motivated by voters who have only their own short-term interests at hand, and where corporations have the same rights as private citizens and thus have free rein to influence the media, the legislative process, the judicial process, and so on. This is the experiment. We are living in the final days of the American experiment, and it is an experiment that is just about over, and historians will be writing about it pretty soon. And they'll say, well, gee, wasn't that interesting? Look what happened. You know, they had a Supreme Court. The Supreme Court turned traitorous. They had a Congress and a Senate, all traitors. They had a president, an extreme traitor. They bankrupted themselves in the same way the Roman Empire did. Imperialism, war, debt spending, and bread and circuses at home to try to keep the masses distracted from reality. So it'll just be a really interesting history lesson. But I hope that you will be productive when we have a chance to rebuild a new society. Because I think it's very important that we reestablish our rights as consumers to be able to have these channels of justice, to seek compensation for damages from corporations that have harmed us by selling us faulty medical devices or dangerous pharmaceuticals. We need to reestablish our rights to privacy, to liberty. We need to have an honest money system. We need to have a new system for media where the corporations aren't in control and the people are. The FTC, also traitorous. The FTC needs to be completely dismantled, replaced by something that serves the interests of the people. The FDA, scrapped. Those people need to be brought up on charges and prosecuted for their crimes against humanity. That needs to happen in history in order to send an important message to future generations of what happens when you essentially betray the children and allow chemicals to intoxicate an entire civilization. We need that lesson to be learned. So stick around. There are going to be some very interesting times ahead. Now, I don't know the time scale of all this. Could happen all of a sudden in a couple of years, or it could take 20 years. That's very difficult to predict. But we do know that once the system starts to fall apart, there will be a domino effect. It will happen very quickly. Look at post-World War I Germany and its hyperinflation. It happened very rapidly because it becomes a runaway, self-reinforcing cycle of ballooning hyperinflation. And that's what you're going to see. We're already seeing signs of it now. Around the world, we're seeing a dumping of the U.S. dollar, and we're seeing a serious drop in the faith that other countries place in the U.S. currency. That means that the United States of America is about to become itself a subprime borrower. That means the U.S. will have to go begging at banks around the world. Please loan us money. We have to fund our wars, and we have to fund our sickness and disease industries. We have to fund our interest on the existing debt. Please loan us money. We'll pay you anything. And the USA will become a junk borrower, and it will have to pay higher and higher interest rates to countries around the world. Anyone who actually wants to loan it money, like China, Taiwan, Japan, European countries, and so on. And this will accelerate the spiraling debt that will ultimately lead to a complete collapse of the U.S. dollar. That's coming. It's only a matter of time. Some people say these are crazy comments today. Yeah, it is crazy until it happens. And then it smacks you in the face. And it's no longer crazy. It's life. And it's happened so many times throughout human history. It will happen again. And we are watching it. I'm always amazed how many people have never studied history. They think we're different. They think, oh, gee, this society, the United States of America, we're immune to all of these problems. Those rules of economics, those rules that caused other countries to collapse throughout history, oh, they don't apply to us. This is utterly ignorant thinking, very arrogant thinking, and oblivious thinking. We are not immune to those rules, and we will, in fact, take our place in history among all the other failed civilizations or nations that collapsed for various reasons. We will be one of them, and then something new will come out of it. So that's the good news. I'll wrap this up now and say that's the good news. The bad news is the Supreme Court has just taken away the rights for consumers to seek compensation from medical device manufacturers. The good news is the Supreme Court and the FDA and the U.S. government is about to become irrelevant. That this whole system of tyranny and oppression and bankruptcy will, in fact, implode. And when it does, we all need to be ready to help create a better society. And that's the positive, upbeat conclusion of all of this. We need to be ready to create something better. We deserve better. Our children deserve better. We deserve to have a society that serves the interests of the people, not the corporations. And there are many ways to do that. There are many new systems that we can experiment with. And we might actually have different regions of North America break off into their own governing regions, like the Pacific Northwest or Northern versus Southern California. I know Vermont wants to be free from the control of Washington. It has for a long time. Hawaii wants to declare its own independence. There are many states and regions that would really like to govern themselves. And when Washington collapses, they will declare their independence. You watch. It will happen. It's just like balkanization. It's just like what happened after the former Soviet Union broke up. These regions want to govern themselves. And they're tired of all the BS from Washington. Everybody is. Everybody's tired of it. So be ready. We can create a new society, a better society, and one that protects our rights and our freedoms. But we must be vigilant and we must be educated. We cannot blindly wander into this collapse and hope that something good comes out of it. All we'll end up with is a different gang in charge. We have to come in with a historical perspective. We have to come in educated. We have to understand economics. And my advice to everybody out there is you better read up on Austrian economics and the principles of libertarian economics. You better read up on that, because that's how you create an abundant society. You don't do it by spending your way into oblivion. You do it by having honest money and by promoting growth and reducing taxation, creating a system where there are incentives to create jobs and opportunity, and a sustainable economic environment. We don't have that in the United States today. So read up on that. And I hope, too, that we create a new society that can help protect the future of this planet. We need a whole new level of environmental grassroots action. We need a new society that doesn't let oil companies drill everywhere they might happen to spot oil. We need a new energy. We need something that's clean. We need to actually stop subsidizing sugar and corn, and we need to rethink our entire agricultural policy. We have so many questions, so many things to think about, and we have so many great solutions out there from individuals who know how to make this work. We can make this work. We can make it work after this current system implodes. And that's the good news. So stick around. It may take years, it may even take decades, but when it happens, boy, there's going to be some fireworks and you don't want to miss the show. Believe me. And it'll be a lot of fun to be around afterwards so we can help create a new, better future for all of our children and their children. We deserve better, and I believe we can create something better after this current system of oppression and tyranny is gone. There may be some tough times ahead in the short term, but some great times ahead afterwards. If we in fact stay informed, we stay focused on creating something positive after this system implodes. So I know that's a lot to think about right now, and this, you know, I got way off track from the Supreme Court, but the Supreme Court is really just a little sign of what's happening, and I wanted to give you the context of this entire discussion. So thanks for listening. I hope I've given you some items to think about, and I will, of course, continue to cover this topic and many other topics here on naturalnews.com. Watch for information about the economics, the health situation, your rights, your privacies, and of course, solutions for health. What can we actually do to be healthy in the future? You'll find all that here on naturalnews.com in future articles and podcasts. Thanks for listening. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, reporting live from Ecuador. I'll talk to you again soon. Take care.